Good evening. Welcome to the Space Show.
Well, good evening, and I'm glad to see you here.
We've heard a bit about the Muse's spacecraft. Of course, Muse in English is means something quite different from what we're meaning here. What is Muse's?
Well, Muse's is an acronym of Engineering Test Missions, which ISAS, my institute, conducts. And MU stands for the name of the launch vehicle, Mu type of launch vehicle. And this is the, well, what it was. Anyway, it means the engineering test mission, which uses Mu launcher as a launcher.
And this satellite is going to be demonstrating a number of new technologies. What are they?
These are the technologies which are needed for the future studies of comets and asteroids in the solar system. And these technologies include the electric propulsion and automatic navigation and sample capture and return to the Earth. But this mission not only conducts the demonstration of these key technologies, but it at the same time it aims at conducting the scientific mission itself. I mean, these technologies are built around the conducting a real scientific mission, so that also, although the mission is defined as engineering, it has scientific objective.
Well, we'll get to the science in a moment, but you mentioned electric propulsion. What's that?
Electric propulsion is a method in which we produce plasma, which is ions and electrons, in the spacecraft body, inside the spacecraft, and accelerate them by the electric field and produce a jet of plasma by the electric force. So that difference is that in ordinary propulsion, we use chemical energy to produce high speeds, but here we use electric energy to produce jets of high-speed plasma. And that electric field can be produced by the solar power. So this is a rather convenient and economical way of producing thrust.
Of course, chemical rockets produce quite a large thrust for quite a short time. It's the other way around with the electric, isn't it?
That's quite true. The thrust is smaller, but it can work for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. And how long do you expect to work it on Muse's?
In this case, we have to let it operate for about 3 years. Not 2 years, so it has to operate for a long, long time.
And where's Muse's going to go to?
It's an asteroid called Nereus. It's a rather unknown the asteroid, but it is chosen for two reasons. Its spectrum is the C-type, which is a typical of the asteroids, and which probably represents the primordial object in the solar system. And the other reason is that the relative speed between the spacecraft and the asteroid is relatively small, so that the energy which is needed to stop the decelerate of the spacecraft to rendezvous with the asteroid is relatively small.
Now, where is this asteroid? Out beyond Mars, between Mars and Jupiter?
No, it's relatively near one.
Mm-hmm. No, it's sort of between the Earth's orbit and Mars. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to find your way there?
Its orbit is known, and so that the orbit is now well designed, and we have already the design plan, the space orbit plan already.
You mentioned autonomous navigation.
Well, autonomous navigation, it is more concerned with the approach of the spacecraft to the very close vicinity of the asteroid, rather than the cruising from the Earth to the asteroid nearby. Okay. And it is very important because in order to take samples, we have to let the spacecraft go to within a few meters of the asteroid, and for that we have to let the spacecraft has a capability of detecting the surface and detecting the surface topographies and see and make it stationary relative to the asteroid. This I call by the name automatic navigation.
I Okay. So it'll use the standard navigation techniques like the Deep Space Network and so on to find its way to the vicinity of the asteroid, and then use its own techniques to find its way from the near space to the actual asteroid itself.
Because you see the distance being so far, the time for the signal to be transmitted from the spacecraft to the Earth is a few minutes or even more than that, so that all the operations have to be automatic. There's no time to receive the data from the spacecraft and send the command accordingly.
Are you going to just fly by the asteroid, or are you going to go into orbit around it, or are you actually going to land?
Let it stay, kind of hover on the asteroid, and then they shoot the projectile onward toward the asteroid surface, and then all these fragments lift up from the surface of the asteroid, and then we capture it and put it in a container and carry it back to the Earth.
So you fire a penetrator at the asteroid, it kicks up dust, and you sort of get sprayed by the dust and hope to collect some.
Yes. We call it projectile rather than penetrator, because the penetration is not the point, but just crashing the surface is the point.
Just stir up some dust.
Yes, dust collector.
And how much dust would be stirred up by this?
Well, 10 grams. Just 10 grams.
That's 10 grams you hope to collect?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And how are you going to collect it?
Well, they are being lifted up by the impact of this projectile. Since the gravity of this asteroid is so small, there's no gravity to keep this dust toward the ground, so they are just lifted up by the impact of the projectile, and we have a horn-shaped the device on the bottom of the spacecraft, and they just come in automatically. We shut the lid and take it out.
And how far away from the asteroid will you be when that happens?
Let's see, the distance of about two times the distance between the Sun and the Earth.
No, I mean, how far from the asteroid will the spacecraft be when you drop the penetrator on it?
It should be about a few meters.
Mm. Oh, that close?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are there going to be any other experiments done while in the vicinity of the asteroid?
We take pictures. And we take pictures, and at the same time, we are going to deploy a nano rover, very small rover, which is only about 1 kilogram.
I know kids have got cars that are bigger than that. I mean, toy cars. a nano rover.
Nano rover, yes. And this is being provided, will be provided by JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory of the United States.
And what will it do on the surface? And will it relay its information back via your craft or directly?
By craft. And the main purpose is to have the closer look at the material on the surface by by measuring the emissions from the surface material. And we do the similar thing from the spacecraft too, of course, but by rover we can have a closer look and can survey several regions on the surface.
Will the rover have a camera like the like Sojourner did on Mars?
No, they don't. It's too small for that.
Okay. And how long will it operate on the asteroid?
I think it's only a matter of several days or so. I don't have the definite number, but it shouldn't be too long. Mm.
So after you've collected your dust and you've let the rover run around for a couple of days, you then sort of push away and come back to Earth, do you?
Yes, we do, but we leave the rover there. We can't recover it.
And how long will it take to come back to Earth?
Two years. No. We launch in 2002, arrive in 2003, and come back 2006, so 3 years.
And where will you land, and how big will the capsule be? And
We plan to land the capture this capsule at Utah, in the Utah range. Mm.
And when we went to the moon and we collected moon rocks and brought them back, there's a lot of concern about whether there might be life there and we might bring the life back and contaminate the Earth. Do you have similar concerns about bringing back material from an asteroid?
But in the asteroid, we don't think that there's any possibility of that, because it's such a primordial substance, so that there they just can't have any opportunity of any high-level substance developing there.
So there'll be no quarantine or anything like that at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. And the samples, will they be used in the United States or will they go back to Japan?
They come to Japan, but since the United States is collaborating in the program, we shall share some amount of this returned material to them.
Well, I hope the project goes well.
Thank you.
And do you have the Japanese, when they launch a spacecraft, of course, give it a Japanese name after launch. Mm-hmm. Have you selected that name yet?
No. That's done on the eve of the launch, and it is usually done by the balloting among the team members. So that's the kind of thing which is decided just before the launch.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to that announcement at the time of launch, and we hope it all goes well. Thank you for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you very much for your questions, and thank you for, and we look forward to your support to the mission.
Thank you.